From Grand Rapids to Flint to Mackinac City, this is the Michigan Talk Network.
All right, real quickly, let's go to the Common Sense Hotline. Robert checking in Empire on this topic of the Virginia governor. Robert, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Steve? This hit me yesterday. This is yet another way for the Democrats to grab more votes. The Spanish that are coming in, the Mexicans, basically, are Catholic, and they are not pro-abortion. But yet, the more contemporary kids in the United States, the 20 to 35, 40-year-old Americans, would be something that would be promoting or using this type of backdoor of abortion. So we're decreasing the voting white Americans, basically, and increasing the Spanish population.
Yeah, but the Spanish population is going to be blowback there, Robert. I got to run. There's going to be blowback there because of what you said. You're exactly right. Roman Catholicism runs deep for those coming here legally and illegally. It doesn't matter. Coming from south of the border, these are big Roman Catholic nations, Mexico, El Salvador, Honduras, and so forth. So keep that in mind. Greatly appreciate the call. The Common Sense Hotline, 888-900-9966. My next guest here, Aaron Call, the Director of Debate for the University of Michigan. He's got the day off. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Great to be back.
Yeah, I hear it's chilly at the Diag, so you guys get the day off today again.
It is quite cold, trying to conserve energy.
Yeah, there you go. Conserve energy. Just sit home and sip coffee. All right, so the State of the Union is coming up. And we have you on the program from time to time to discuss what needs to happen. Obviously, this is an odd State of the Union. It was postponed. The government shut down. A lot of politics flying around. What does the president have to do February 5th, this coming Tuesday, to capture the moment?
Yeah, I think that the delay and all of the controversy surrounding it, I think, will increase interest in the speech. And I think that there's hopefully some people will tune in that wouldn't otherwise. But I think a large portion of the address is going to be about the issue of immigration. He's going to try to, again, make his case, just like he did in the Oval Office address, for why he wants funding for the border wall and other immigration enforcement measures. And, as you mentioned, the shutdown, there's, potentially around Valentine's Day, another shutdown coming. And so he wants to use that opportunity to try to best make his case for an agreement being reached somewhat to his liking before potentially another government shutdown, but also pivot to things, what he wants to get done in the next 2 years before running for re-election, maybe some things that could have bipartisan support, like infrastructure spending or decreasing prescription drugs. And then finally, for the speech, I think he wants to talk about his accomplishments while in office, and I think that he'll focus on the economy, taxes, deregulation, the stock market, hitting 25,000. And so, I think those are probably three things that'll do in a speech to, probably be about an hour or so.
Yeah, and I would guess probably some reflection on the conservatives that he said to the federal benches around the country, including two to the Supreme Court. That'll be part of the discussion as well, because that's part of his big selling point for 2020 continues to be the appointment of conservative judges to the federal benches, and he's been very successful in that regard.
Definitely, and even with the Democratic now control of the House, that's something that it won't be impacted, and if anything, will only speed up now that there's a margin of 53 to 47 in the Senate. He confirmed about, I think it was 29 circuit court judges, but 100 district court judges in the first 2 years, and now with Lindsey Graham as the head of the Judiciary Committee and an even greater Senate margin, I think you'll see that really ramp up and be a center point for re-election, especially with your potential vacancies in the Supreme Court coming up in the next several years. That will be a big selling point given the intensity for a lot of his base supporters on that important issue.
Certainly. Breyer and Ginsburg. All eyes on Breyer and Ginsburg any given day, both in their 80s. Breyer in reasonable health. Ginsburg's health is questionable. I want to shift to one other thing here. Aaron Call, Director of Debate for the University of Michigan, here with us. And that is the tougher job. Donald Trump's job is tough enough, but the tougher job, I think, is the rebuttal, the response if you win. if you will, from Stacey Abrams. She is the woman who lost the race for governor in Georgia and then basically claimed it was stolen from her. They cheated. You know, it wasn't fair. It was democracy got run over and all sorts of hyperbole and rhetoric. I think they've put her in a difficult position. It's a tough spot always. You know, you remember Marco Rubio guzzling water and then one of the Kennedys had too much lip balm on. They find things that these people get ripped apart. What does she need to do to not become a punchline?
No, you're totally correct. It's the toughest speech in all of politics, and you've gone through some of the errors. And yeah, it's tough just because of the platform. I mean, the president speaking for an hour, last time it was an hour and 20 minutes in the House chamber, and, you know, you have 50 million people or so watch it, and then you know, you have the rebuttal, which is shorter and, you know, in a much less esteemed place. And so it's always, you know, I think finding an appropriate venue for it, you know, I think we've seen in some past ones where it's been, you know, at a diner or surrounded by car vehicles and things like that. So having a comfortable place and making sure that she's comfortable. And, you know, I think that part of it's going to be there's been some buzz about her potentially running for Senate in Georgia in 2020. And so, you know, could this be a platform for her to make not only the rebuttal case and, you know, the case of the Democratic Party overall, but her kind of, you know, introduction to the national media and then potentially, you know, teasing a Senate run in 2020. She's met with Chuck Schumer from the Democratic side about potentially running, and so it could be a big vehicle for her. But I think that, you know, a lot of it will be done in advance, but, you know, watching the speech in real time, trying to make just a few brief points where you think maybe the lowlights or the weaknesses were of the speech and really try to, you know, hammer those in addition to the things that you want to talk to before. But I think being comfortable is the most important thing, because all the examples you mentioned is where people in poor venues or, you know, poor planning, they really put them in a tough spot. So just kind of being yourself, being in a comfortable environment and, you know, stick with what you've rehearsed.
Yeah, and hopefully.
Advance, but also then I think talk about a few key points.
And hopefully you won't be the opening for Saturday Night Live a few days later. Aaron, I got to run. Greatly appreciate it. Aaron Call, Director of Debates for the University of Michigan. Good stuff. Thank you.
All right.